was just thinking there's this whole episode of Mad Men where Don is just like hanging out with these like vagabond hippies who are like, hey man, try this pill. And he's like driving drunk with a tumbler of scotch in his hand, gone off some sort of prescription med. And then there's a cut in the episode and he's just face down and he's been robbed in a hotel room. And I was like, there's a non-zero chance that's happened to Urban over the last 3 years.
We used to make things in this country.
Yeah.
Like pills.
Like pills. Yeah. No, you can buy them in Canada. That's where I go.
But the problem is you steal Urban Meyer's wallet. You're like, it's just Steve Adazio's business card. That's all that's in here.
I didn't actually know that Buffalo Wild Wings gave out tokens.
Just pictures.
It's a B-Dubs black card.
Yeah. It's just for loyal service, and it has a buffalo with a crown on it.
Wallet photos of Steve Adazio doing curls.
Yeah. Who still uses traveler's checks? He's got like $5,000 in traveler's checks. Fucked up, man.
Mashed oat from Zach Smith.
Yeah. Welcome to the Shutdown Foolcast.
A lot of range on that one. Really, like, good backswing. Good, like, really loved it.
Yeah, it was an easy one. It was like a Freddy couple swing, baby.
Oh, so smooth.
Yeah, why you gotta smooth. Get me all hot and bothered at the start of the show by mentioning Freddy couples? God dang.
Not called Freddy singles. I'll tell you that.
Oh, his name is the most beautiful single sentence of all.
I am Spencer Hall. You are listening to the only college football podcast. Joined as always by Ryan, Jason, Holly, and on the ones and twos, Michael Serber.
He gets the last name.
Yeah.
No, the rest of you are like Pele.
We're like
mononyms.
Why can't Server be Hulk?
You took a thing that was actually a sign of respect for me and then turned it very quickly into a, uh-huh. like, I don't get a cool Pele name.
Yeah, so we get two, and Server gets Usted.
Well, yeah, he'd be the goalie. The goalie gets two names.
But you really can't. That's not what we mean by two.
So the thing I wanted to talk about now that we've gotten down to the really important stuff.
I believe it's brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. But
so they get a last name.
We'll call.
It's actually all one word.
We'll call
Coors
Serber
Elizabeth Light.
We'll call Serber Miguelito.
God damn that goes. Thank you.
Yeah. Miguelito. Thank you.
How do you think it went? How do you think it went the first time somebody suggested to somebody else who had an upset tummy, like, hey, you should have some Sprite? Like, what do you think the first time that conversation happened went like? Because I got to tell you, sight unseen, if I wasn't feeling well and a stranger was just like, drink soda, I think I would be pretty skeptical.
I'm going to guess it went great because the logic of it lines up. Like, why do we like it now? It's because the bubbles will fix it. Because when it's in your tummy, it moves around and it'll rearrange everything.
Contains citrus.
The same logic was there when we first discovered water with bubbles in it. So
sure. Like Cinderella's magic broom, but for your tummy.
Well, it feels like frontier medicine logic that we still hold on to. Because why? Because it's true. That's why.
That's fair.
If it was presented with no authority and from a person with no medical training, they would accept it. If it came from a doctor, we would be instantly suspicious. Because remember, I have to translate this.
The Sprite lobby controls doctors.
Right. That's there's always been this vein in American thinking of like, that's what they want. That's what they want you to do. The Spaniard, they've planned it.
They give the doctors $10,000 worth of Sprite travel. Then the doctor tells you to drink Sprite, even though you don't need it.
It's my favorite thing where somebody goes, oh, you think you know something I don't? Yeah, probably. Probably, brother.
Every evidence would suggest it.
Yeah.
Not only am I not taking Sprite, I'm never drinking Sprite.
Big 7-Up is pulling all the strings behind the scenes.
Now, ginger ale, though. That one's real.
Yeah. That's because it's got Eastern medicine.
Well, because ginger ale is beyond just one company. You can't blame the Coca-Cola company or the Pepsi company.
That's right.
ISIS. There's no central authority.
Yeah, there's no way to pin down ginger ale.
Now, you want to avoid 7-Up, though, because that gets a little too close to the grasping tentacles of Dr. Pepper.
That's right. Mm. Be part of the Werner sponsored Noble Guerrilla War against Hurt Stummy. Stummy hurt, apply Werner's. That's actually true.
Werner's
though,
is
yeah.
gross.
The Michigan money cannon is gonna be done.
I thought it was from Vermont.
Werner's? I have only ever associated.
Oh wait,
with
am I mixing
Michigan
it up with Red Rock? Which one's the red one?
Is Vermont not part of Michigan?
Werner's is not red.
I'm thinking about the red one, which is vile.
Werner's is from Detroit.
Yeah, Werner's is like
I don't kinda, think I've had Werner's. Okay.
Kind of picante. Ginger ale.
Am I in a different kind of trouble now because I don't know what it was?
No, I think you're better. I think you'll just be corrected.
All right. Not a problem. I accept.
Do you think I know like soft drinks, like Pepsi's name comes from this will help you with some medical like dyspepsia or whatever, right?
Oh my god, I never thought about that.
Anthraxy. Oh, I'm pretty sure that's literally where the name comes from.
The first one was anthraxy. They're like, no, too broad.
Wait, so what is mellow yellow supposed to cure?
Pee.
So the two big sodas are named after cocaine and dyspepsia.
I think that's right.
I also
and then there is literal Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm. Who prescribed all of this?
Yeah,
I thought Pepsi was ancient Greek for is Pepsi okay? Or for we're out of Coke. Oh, God, that was okay. Even for me, that was bad.
It's all right.
Pepsi is okay, honestly.
Pepsi was advertised to relieve dyspepsia. I didn't make that up, which is indigestion. Sorry.
Pepsi ain't got no museum. How are we supposed to know?
Server, are you going to tell us some tales of cheer wine, or you got something else?
Well, Sprite was launched in 1961. The first major lemon lime soda was launched in 1929, which was 7-Up. But it's worth mentioning that both Pepsi and Coca-Cola, upon their launch, were marketed as like magic elixirs that would cure ailments. So this conversation initially started. When do you think the first time someone said, "Have some Sprite if you're sick"? I think like the exact day that Sprite launched, someone was like, "Finally, I was sick. That 7-Up ain't working no more."
I just think
it's funny that the most unhealthy thing that there is in the United States of America actually was launched as medicine.
Sure, like cereal's the same way. Like cereal's all like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
like it was like 4 out of 5 doctors prefer Marlboro.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I mean,
yes.
I think with soda,
they did, though, because doctors
caffeine.
Do y'all know about the weird origins of the Kellogg's company?
Yeah, it was an insane asylum, correct?
Okay, yeah.
It was so those people would stop masturbating.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, it feels like the soda thing is about caffeine makes you feel a certain way, therefore you're not sick anymore. So let's just tell them it cures it.
I want to get back to a place where our soda companies are also trying to cure our bodies. Like, I think we've gotten too far away from those origins, and we need Coca-Cola and the Pepsi-Cola company and everybody, like, we need everybody to start being like, okay, we have new products to cure all your issues.
Brian, are you saying we need to bring back power-ups?
That's correct. Yes.
Like, pizza needs to restore your hit points again?
Yes. I need to be able to punch a trash can and find a fully cooked turkey that I can step on and then get full life. And also, there's a machine gun in there, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate energy drinks for never taking this tack. Energy drinks at no point have energy drinks really fully embraced the "this is also good for you." They've always completely sidestepped that with bluster. Like, so Monster, has it got any other benefits? Is it going to make me like smart? And they're like, it's Monster!
Mental boost.
What does it do? It goes!
It pushes your heart to its limits.
We're not, of course, talking about the Mountain Dew line of energy drinks.
No, because that does provide mental boost
and use
and increase
the acuity. They're real.
It extended my hit points beyond the normal. You have the normal red life meter. It gave me an additional gold life meter.
Yeah, and we're also not talking about Gatorade Fast Switch, which you can outrun anyone with.
Which that doubled my mana. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan, didn't you have a holiday tale about a Gatorade Fast Switch over Thanksgiving?
We brought Gatorade sent us some Fast Switch that I had not gotten around to opening yet, and my wife was in tech for the Christmas show they're doing at her theater company, so she brought it in, And those theater nerds, they fucking loved Gatorade Bastards. They were like, please give us more of this. Where is more? We need this.
Sports dorks, drama dorks, Gatorade Fast Witches, Universal.
It's for all. It's for all.
Yeah. I just keep hearing the Street Fighter theme music every time you talk about people opening a can of Faster.
It's like, Oliver, Oliver, I'm going fast, Pagan.
Yeah, energy drinks, no such promises. Like 100% Jolt Cola, Jolt Cola, man. No lies told.
Surge.
Oh yeah, man.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know those? You remember like the old timey Christmas specials that were all sponsored by one thing, which is how we ran into the Kraft nightmare of last year. That we didn't finish because everybody involved got sick. Probably not from the Kraft, but what if we had? I'm trying to imagine like a Mountain Dew sponsored televised production of A Christmas Carol.
That seems entirely
is where I'm trying to get.
I'm open to anything. Like Sunkissed PM. Like the orange soda that helps you sleep.
Moonkissed.
Moonkissed. God, that's good. Yeah. These are free ideas, soda companies. Use them.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right. Even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTimes.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Anyway, Spencer wanted to talk about the playoff.
I wanted to talk about this quote.
The dog is trying to stop him, and I appreciate that.
I am trying to make that dog quiet with my mind.
Hold on, let's watch this go.
Professor Ready? X of dogs.
Ready, begin.
It's failing miserably.
Had to stop
the dog's telepathic powers are too great. Get that out of there.
That raises a good question. Could Professor X read animal minds?
It's only isn't it only mutants? Can he,
I don't. Is it, is it no, he can. In some versions, he can read regular.
It just
human
depends who's
too.
Writing it. Yeah.
But like, could he look? Could he look at a squirrel and just hear it go? Durr!
No, squirrels have very deep thoughts.
Yeah, like did you think that all squirrels are going around like Daryl, just like
squirrel,
jump, run, jump.
When a squirrel sees a street, it says, "I'm going to run 99%." Of the way across the street and then run back, and when I'm going to see how close I can get to making a car hit me,
because I'm exploring the thin line between life and death we all dance upon all day. I'm a squirrel.
I'm collecting research on this. You'll see.
I wanted to cover this, which was from the piece about how the playoff committee made up its mind not to admit Florida State. This is excerpted by Roger Sherman. I think that's.
Oh, yeah. We should probably, if you get all your news from the full cast and the last episode you heard was us saying they're definitely going to keep Florida State in, they didn't do that. Just
We're
so
idiots.
You know.
Yeah.
Bama got in instead.
Bob Stoops has left Oklahoma.
Yep.
And the 2023 playoff field is does not include Florida State. Spencer, mm-hmm. are you referring to Heather Dinesh's post?
Yes. Yes. But Roger cut this piece, and it's pretty great. It wasn't until the ACC championship game began to unfold, though, that the members' opinions began to truly take shape. The group grew concerned as it watched the Noles struggle to get a first down in the first half. I love several different angles on this. One, congratulations to Louisville on playing such a disgusting game that you knocked the other team out of the playoff and without winning. That's amazing. I love that Jack Plummer and the collective wretch reflex that was Louisville football in that game played such a putrid game that they managed to poison even the viable playoff contender in that same game. Congratulations. That's all you want to do if you can't win the game, ruin the prospects of the opponent on a permanent basis. So well done. That's not your fault, by the way. That's the committee. The committee's like sudden freestyle vibes kind of based approach kicking in at exactly the wrong time for Florida State. But
Florida State roll to avoid Louisville's exploding corpse. Oh, you got three. You're so covered in Louisville poison now.
You're covered in pizza sauce. The like, was there, like, if Louisville hadn't gotten 6 points, are we good? Like, six, how do you keep out a team that won, that shut out their final top 20 opponent? Like, or if Florida State had gotten to 30 points, are we good?
Do they have a curly A on the helmet?
There's got to be a number that's, like, beyond the point at which even they could push the argument, right?
I think you're right. Yes, there does have to be. It couldn't have just been no matter what. All of this, like, ignores that Florida State had to do this with their third stringer. Like,
it wasn't even going to
play.
Very
little prep. Yes. Like, it was not, yeah. I think... And they haven't said this, and none of them will. But I think a lot of this came down to, yes, we know we have Louisville in the top 20. We don't think Louisville's good.
We don't think Louisville is good.
Right. Like, we have to do this because we recognize, like, that their record requires a certain level of respect and whatever. But I think
some records do.
Oh, does it, Ryan?
I said a certain level.
Some records.
I said a certain. Listen. This is the same committee that was like, "Why is Liberty the top G5 team?" They have literally
nobody could beat them. Yeah,
they have literally the worst strength of schedule in the nation. And the committee's like, "Well, winning matters a lot." What are you guys, crazy? All right,
one member of the committee just piping up like, "I'm just trying to bring back the apocalypse by endorsing good Christian soldiers." Did I say that out loud? Fuck.
All right, Spencer, please. I'm sorry. You were delighting things.
Yeah, see? The Southern Methodists, no less. They're literally by accent closer to mm-hmm, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Those Yankees. those rich men north of Richmond in Lynchburg, uh-huh. Virginia. Mm-hmm.
But they're cookies!
The funniest thing would be...
I don't know where Lynchburg is in relation to Richmond, but... It's
the funniest
now.
Thing would be if you went back in time and Jesus and all the apostles had Baltimore accents, right?
Yeah.
Like, that would be the funniest thing you could determine.
I wouldn't betray you. Oh, you will. I love that Louisville managed to do that. I also love that after a decade of setting up this play action where I anticipated the committee doing the conspiratorial thing and making the decision for television and ratings and tickets and trying to set up the best possible matchups, even if the actual regular season records didn't reflect that they waited this long to do the rug pull. They waited until the final year before playoff expansion to go ahead and sink the hook deep. Friends, that's play calling. That's well done. That is bureaucratic load shifting on a degree to which you can only applaud the audacity and skill involved. Because, and I'd had this is like when talking about this with Richard Johnson is primarily like I was proven wrong and then not, because I kept, every time this came around every year, Richard and I would talk, and Richard would go, "Dude, they can only do so many things." And I would go, no, I don't trust this institution. And the institution would do the anodyne, boring kind of responsible thing by actually following their own rules. And only in their final year did they finally rip off the mask and just, like, anyone sitting, like, you know, 48 beers deep at the bar go, these guys look like ass. Don't put them in. Based on, like,
FSU can't get the big
game.
Hit. Yeah.
Yeah. The FSU can't get so, the big, like, hit. I don't think they're clutch.
The fucked up thing is this was the first year that they actually did follow their rules. Like, the first 9 editions of this, they did not do best team. 2015 Ohio State was a better team than 2015 Michigan State, but they followed head to head and standings and things of that, you know, things that normal sports give a shit.
Things
about.
That people care
2018
about.
Georgia. Yes. Things that should matter. 2018 mm-hmm. Georgia was one of the 4 best teams. 2022 Alabama was a better team than 2022 TCU. But all along, they followed most deserving. They said, we picked best. No, they picked most deserving. Now, all of a sudden, in year 10, they go with quote fingers best instead of most deserving and pretend this is what they've done all along, right? And that to me is the second craziest part of the whole thing. Is and in the ESPN post that that Roger cited, there's even like quoting an ex-committee and an anonymous ex-committee member who's basically like, yeah, they kind of lost the plot here, which is like, you know, the whole best thing was lip service all along. It was most deserving is what people want out of a playoff. Best is what you want out of bowl games. Bowl games you want. It would be cool if this team played that team. Most deserving is what you want in a tournament.
If you took 13 people with extremely limited understanding of college football, you just sort of laid out like the basic parameters and like here's sort of the relative rankings of the conferences and this, that, or whatever, they're definitely putting Florida State in, right? Like, I don't,
yeah,
I think this is, in my head, the best way I have been able to wrangle it is this is an example of, and I do this shit all the time in a million ways, this is way overthinking a thing. Like, they took something that should have been relatively simple and they just sort of galaxy brained it to a conclusion that bears some logical, that has some logical weight to it, but is also just like so overwrought. So overwrought.
It's the flawed premise of we want 4 best teams. That's not what anyone wants. But all this time, they managed to ignore that and put together a decent playoff. This time, all of a sudden, somehow the best thing clogged their brains, and that's what they went with. And, dude, yeah. And it ended up, the effect of it was their first ever rug pull. Like, that part's absolutely true. The effect of it was we had thought that this goofy-ass institution was going to, you know, through it all, despite it all, give us a good playoff, a fair playoff every year. And for the first time, they followed the letter of their own law, and it gave us the worst playoff yet. Which, to me, the premise is flawed from the very beginning, but it never mattered, and now it matters. Because best is, first of all, it's completely subjective. Secondly, Bama's not one of the 4 best to this point. They could win it all. They could win it all. But the power rankings composite, Bama is number 5. Ohio State should be in if you actually want the 4 best teams. Like Vegas would favor Ohio State over Alabama according to the power rankings. So if we're about it, then we're about it. Put Ohio State in.
I cannot stand for that. not even theoretically speaking. Also, they did just lose their quarterback, by the way. That's why.
Shit. Yeah, they can't go now. So what does the committee do? What does the committee do if a quarterback of a playoff team opts out?
Just opts out and transfers.
Nope. Get them out of here. Send someone else in.
The other thing, and my boss brought this up, there's really no reason, because all this is made up anyway. Like, the most ballin' thing the playoff could have done would say, like, okay, we've just decided to have a play-in game. Like, Alabama, Florida State, in a week, you are meeting in the Jerry Dome, and you're going to play for the 4th spot. And that's it. That's just what we're going to do. And nobody would have to go, like, crawl up their own ass about, like, but what about the precedent? Precedent doesn't matter. We're about to do 12 teams. Like, I can't find any flaw with that. Like, yeah, it would have pissed off Georgia fans, and yeah, it would have pissed off Ohio State fans, but that's fine. Like, that's the other part is I see a lot of people saying, like, well, thank God we're about to move to 12 teams and we're not going to have to deal with this anymore. We're not going to have to deal with this specific situation anymore. But the idea, and I have a colleague writing about this, the idea that we're going to expand the playoff field to now include two loss teams and sometimes three loss teams, and it's going to be less divisive when there are more two loss and three loss teams. And now you get into the weird questions of, like, before you could take a group of five team and say, like, if you have a loss, you're out. Like, one loss is all it takes. Sometimes even going undefeated doesn't matter. But now we are going to have a weird time where it's like, is this one-loss G5 team better than this three-loss Big Ten team? That's an argument we're going to have at some point. It's going to get it's not going to get less contentious. It's going to get way more contentious. It'll be at a slightly lower level. But if you look at the teams right now that are in that, like, 11 to 15 range, it's like Oklahoma and Penn State and Ole Miss and LSU. It's not like, oh, good, we've gotten away from the fan bases that'll be really mad if we leave them out.
Steered straight into them.
Yeah, and, like, so you're telling me we're going to have a system where, you know, some year we'll have five Big Ten teams or five SEC
right.
teams or both, and mm-hmm. everyone's going to feel great about that? Like, we're expanding it to make sure we can get some 9-3 Auburn team in there, and everyone thinks that's awesome. And, like, the other thing is the top four still gets, like, byes.
Yes.
Like, it's still a huge benefit to rank in the top four. It's still a big deal.
And you get home field advantage. Yes, there's a bunch that goes into it, yeah.
Hey, I know what we're not going to see. We're not going to see a two-loss ACC team in there because don't try to exchange those ACC bucks. No, that currency's no good here anymore. If we can wave off an undefeated ACC team, holy hell, if you lost two games to the ACC, that's like four games in the Big Ten of the SEC. We're not even going to pay attention to it.
Like, is Iowa getting into 12-team playoff this year?
This year?
Yeah.
What are they ranked like?
I would say 16th? in our vibes-based economy that we have now,
yeah.
No. I think they would have watched the Big Ten championship game, and they would have done the same thing with Louisville and Florida State and gone, that's we true. Can't let this happen.
That's true. That's
so they're ranked 17th. Is this like if they had lost one fewer game or whatever?
I guess, like, yeah. Well, to me, the thing would be, like, you're going to get a bunch of these weird arguments with conference championship losers where it's like they only have that second or third loss because they made the conference championship game. Now you're punishing teams for doing well, which is going to be insane. Like, I don't know. I get why Florida State fans are mad, and I don't think they're wrong to be. And at the same time, like, nothing about this sport has ever been built towards identifying a national champion, and it never will be, for the simple fact that there's 130 fucking teams and they only play 12 games.
And, like, also
to win the Super Bowl, you have to win what, a minimum of 20 games, right? 17 regular season. You have to play a minimum of 20 games. You got to play 17 regular season games, divisional, conference championship, Super Bowl. That's for a league that has like 20% as many franchises and has salary caps and has, you know, the draft and a bunch of ways to build equity between them and controls all the scheduling. Like, everything about this sport is built so that you just get to the end of the year and you're like, I don't know, let's fight about it.
We have other college sports with even more teams that manage to figure out a national champion in an orderly way. Orderly is never going to fit college football. It's not the history. And I don't know, like, I don't know really the obsession with moving toward, well, I know it makes a lot of money. But, like, we just need to go back. Fuck the playoff. I've been saying it for a few years, but the playoff is stupid and bad. No one will ever listen to me. It's fine. Go back to the bowl season and add a plus one after bowl season.
Let's go even further back.
One bowl?
Let's go back to the days when the AP and the coaches poll decided who won the national title, and the final vote happened before bowl
season.
So you can win the national title and then go fart away your bowl game.
The bowls are just for the Duke Mayo dump. After and
and the Pop-Tart chomp. That's it.
It's going to be so horrifying watching this mascot with eyes come out, get devoured as it's standing there on the field.
It'll be really horrifying if it enjoys it. Now we're
going to go make Florida State play Georgia. The reason they're in, like, I understand that there's a decent chance Florida State might have got passed over for Texas even if Georgia had won. But I don't know if that's the case or not. I do know that because Georgia lost to Alabama, Bama got in, and Florida State didn't. Mm-hmm. And now Florida State has to go play this team that basically fucked up their whole season.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Georgia had won, the argument that FSU shouldn't be in would have been a lot harder to make. I realized it was already about as hard as possibly could be. but at that point, like, Texas is valued. Like, this, to me, this isn't a consolation compromise kind of thing. This is, FSU, you are very, 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 very briefly, somehow, against all odds, America's team. No one ever would have ever imagined this happening, but you are the country.
And then Rick Scott showed up.
Florida State.
And then Ron DeSantis showed up.
And then I love politicians.
Donald
showing
Trump
up,
like, is tweeting about honestly, the man, first like ever dogs. Power Five team to be left out of the playoff. So close, Big Dog. So close.
Oh, yeah. Like dogs to the kitchen when they hear somebody in there, like, ooh, a free hamburger for me? Rick Scott has opinions. Like, dog, go to jail. Go to jail.
My thing is, like, so FSU, Georgia. FSU, you beat Georgia. You're a 2-touchdown underdog. Got it. We see that every year. Every year there's numerous multiple touchdown upsets. FSU upsets Georgia. There's this weird thing where it's like, maybe they should claim a title. Of fucking course they should claim a title. Like, do you know how many more title claims college football history should have? I'm not joking. Like, yes, they should claim a title. 2017 UCF was right. If 2023 FSU wants to win it all and then apologize to 2017 UCF on the way to claiming a 2023 title, do it.
Unless Georgia fucks it up for them.
Unless Georgia wins? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. If Georgia wins, then you didn't have an – you know, then fine. Okay,
and then, maybe. And then Georgia's deprived Florida State of two shots at a national championship.
You have to beat Georgia. If you beat Georgia, you had better put a 23 on your stadium.
If that happens, by the way, it will be because they played cover two. If you did not see this, one reason that Alabama managed to throttle the Georgia offense was because they came in with a brilliant plan to play, and let's get a little bit into the weeds here. They're going to play an odd front, and they were going to have all these big complex ideas in order to keep Georgia from running the ball, but also keep men in coverage. And after the first series, Nick Saban trashed the entire game plan for, why don't you guys play even up front and play split safeties? That's what they did. The adjustment happened after a drive, a single drive. And that was enough to break the mind of Mike Bobo. They had no solution for it. None. Nick said, and it's great in the post game. Nick goes, I just told him to just do this. We'll get pressure with four, and I don't know. It'll work. And it did.
Sure did.
Like, it was absolutely brilliant. Like, if you want to know why the 72-year-old coach managed to sneak into the playoff, it's because he was like, oh, we're idiots. We've got big ideas. Stop. Just let the players play. Why don't you guys go out there and cover two and just knock some heads? And it worked. It 100% worked.
Holly, you don't have to answer this. And maybe we're saving it for 40 for 40. Do you have feelings about being drawn against Iowa in a bowl game this year?
It kind of... Yeah? Is it off character if I say they're good?
Okay, that's fine.
Like, we're...
I'm not saying I was bad. I'm more saying, like, I think the thing that everyone, even people who think Iowa's good, nothing about playing Iowa looks fun.
No, but the last meeting between the two of them shows that it can be done. You know, this is this tends to be, it's kind of funny for all the hemming and screaming that we do about this program. It kind of feels like we only ever play Michigan, Penn State, or Iowa. Mm-hmm. In the postseason, last year's delightful result notwithstanding. But I kind of want to see it with about a month to get healthy. I'm interested to see how that poor bemoaned offensive front and our little three-headed running back holds up against, you know, we got irresistible force from the SEC and immovable object from the Big Ten. Like, I it feels kind of classic to me. I like this matchup, which is a boring answer.
No, I think that's a very healthy answer. I just didn't know. I just wanted to ask. That's all.
No, and I didn't have to struggle to get there anyway. It's like, well, we've got, you know, this season didn't go as planned. They have not been great on the road. But one of the biggest problems they've had has been health. Well, let's see what we could do to eliminate that problem And then, you know, and then let's see what happens. I have no clue a month out, again, mostly based on health, what I think about their chances. But I, if I had to pick of matchups, I might have picked this one myself. And also, you know, shout out to FCS Sports. The Florida Citrus Sports team just runs like, they run great games. Like, they're really fun to go to. So
I did like, and I'm sorry again if I'm.
This is the team that sent a charcuterie board to Jason last year when he made fun of them. Shout out to our buddy Matt and comms.
Oh, what a ridiculous bowl. Oh, I hope they don't do that again.
Please, please don't send Jason.
It was wonderful.
More Cheez-Its. He's too powerful.
I did like Bo Wallace's reaction to Ole Miss getting put in the Peach Bowl again, which was the site of course. There was that the 2014
16
2014 TCU.
It was the 2014. Yeah, because it was the TCU that got jumped by Ohio State and just put an absolute mollywhopping.
When Ohio State had a third string quarterback.
That did happen, yeah. But they beat the shit out of Wisconsin. That's the important thing.
The playoff committee said, that's fine.
Everybody's really excited about this LSU-Wisconsin thing, and I think everybody's forgetting that this happened fairly recently in the regular season.
They played two neutral site games, right?
There's the there's a culture clash element of it. I think the other thing there is this and Iowa-Tennessee are the games closest to the game. Everyone, why are there balloons again?
Because you did the peace sign.
Keeps giving me balloons. Is that what it is? It's doing AI on me? That's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, but it only works for you for some reason.
Wow.
Interesting.
I'm the most peaceful, I guess.
So anyway, it knows about your book.
I have so much power now. So I held up two fingers, folks, because the two games that people wanted, the two teams that people wanted to play each other were Iowa and LSU, who are completely opposite, the most opposite teams. All offense, no defense, all defense, no offense. That's if Jaden Daniels plays. The closest facsimiles we got this year are probably Iowa, Tennessee, and Wisconsin, LSU. Not as extreme, but still in spirit somewhat similar.
Yeah, I wasn't really considering the whole. I was speaking more as an alum than as a considering the whole slate when I said I like this matchup. Like, listen, man, there was a minute there where I thought we were going to the Music City and I was going to have to crawl into something.
Yeah, so, don't do that.
I'm just listen. Just put us in Florida on a mid. This, do you know how I talk at the beginning of the year about how I'm not comfortable unless Tennessee is somewhere between like 19 and 23, and anything else is either way too high, don't look at us, or disrespect. Do you know where Tennessee finished the season?
21, maybe.
21 and headed to a respectable and respectable only tier bowl in Florida. Like, this is my comfort zone. Nothing can hurt us in here. This is like sensory deprivation tank, Tennessee.
Does that change at all depending on the out? Like, if Iowa just absolutely stonewalls Tennessee, does that change anything for you? Or is it just like, yeah, that's what Iowa does?
I mean, I'd be mad, but you know, I've been mad before.
You'll be mad again.
And it has absolutely no outcome on what this program does. So
see, I don't have to be mad because Florida's not going to a bowl game. Oh, so I was gonna
ask about how your feelings on it.
I just get to just be super chill, totally relaxing. A few people, as I was gloating in Georgia's loss, tried to bring this up. Like, where's Florida going to a bowl game?
Like, that hurt you? Holy shit.
Florida went to a bowl game last year and got their asses kicked by Oregon State as the fan base fucking fought each other online over whether they should kick a field goal near the end of the game to keep their stupid scoring in every game streak alive. I don't want to go back to that. I'm not excited to relive that. It's fine to miss a bowl game.
I'm not fucking with you. I can't remember. Did they kick that field goal?
They did. And the streak lives. And Oregon State beat them like 37-3.
Most consistent offense in all of college football.
That's right. That's right. Nobody can touch us anymore. So, yeah.
My favorite rankings thing. Do you know the most overrated team in the country compared to the like computer composite?
That would be. Is it Liberty?
No. I think they're actually, believe it or not, ranked somewhat fairly.
Shit.
Yeah.
Because their overall ranking is not high. They just got the highest. They just got the G5 spot. But yeah.
Wait,
I choose not to believe that there.
Okay. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, you're allowed. You're allowed to say that.
Cool.
NC State is number 18 in the playoff rankings. NC State is number 26 in the composite, ahead of number 10.
That's they're coasting off Dave Doran's virility on the mic.
The fucking CW champs, I will never besmirch. They're a team of the year for me, but somehow the committee took a shine to this NC State team that, when you drill down into the numbers, it's a little dubious, which makes it even more amazing that FSU got left out, because apparently the committee loves the ACC.
No. FSU got left out because they dodged State. Yeah. If only they had proven themselves against the Wolfpack, maybe we would believe in them. But instead, they played shitty teams like Clemson and Miami.
And LSU. Yeah. So FSU was scared to go in the CW, and that's what did them in.
I think we should also talk about, and I think this is big picture enough that it won't overlap. I did like, there was a brief moment during bowl selection, the latter part of the day in bowl selection, after the playoffs announced and you're starting to hear about who's going to the non-playoff bowls, where none of the ACC games had been announced. And I think it was Brett McMurphy that was like, yeah, they haven't even had a conference call yet to have this discussion.
I can confirm from talking with bowl personnel that as of like 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, there were bowls that had not heard from the ACC at all.
So there was a brief window where my troublesome brain was like, what if they're all banding together and boycotting bowl season? What if the ACC is just not going to show up for bowl games?
I was actually hoping the infighting would go on for so long, and it was infighting that delayed it because nobody wanted to drop down a spot. They didn't actually think that Florida State was going to get screwed like this, and they didn't have a backup plan. Nobody wanted to drop down a spot. You can guess who was the loudest and shrillest about this. But what I was really hoping would happen was that this would last for so long that the bowls would just move on to their next conference ties.
So this is a year already where there weren't enough 6-win teams. That's how we got JMU and Jacksonville State, and that's why 5-7 Minnesota is playing in a bowl game. So not only would they have had to go to their other ties, they would have had to start calling 5-win teams. Florida might have made a bowl game in this.
Florida
summer.
In the Pop-Tarts Bowl. My favorite thing about this is during all this like afternoon of ACC chaos where they're all reacting to the FSU snub, Stuart Mandel did a post on this with like all the ACC bowl people. And at one point they all went to Notre Dame, no surprise. So how they decided to resolve this was they all wrote down their names, handed them to an attorney. The attorney put them in a hat, and the attorney pulled one out of the hat. And that
like
is where
PricewaterhouseCoopers.
And I'm
like, flesh.
This is how college football is meant to work. Yeah. This is college football.
This is stupid.
Computers are pretty good. Committees are fucking stupid. This is perfect.
Like, that is the bowl selection show I would watch. Where you just, like, we're like, all right, it's hat time, people. Let's see what hat the fucking ReliaQuest Bowl has brought.
I would like to see it decided not by feats of strength, but by field day activities like running with an egg and a spoon.
Sure. Three-legged race.
And the university
That's
have
good.
To do it.
Like, so bowl season, we have these, like, stupid little gimmick activities that happen, right?
And they try to... contest.
Yeah, put
whatever.
This at halftime instead of the Dr. Pepper challenge, and college should be free.
Oh, wait.
We'll do this on Sunday. Do the shit on Sunday. Do the Chick-fil-A milkshake contest on Sunday, and that's how you get into the Peach Bowl. The best two teams go to the Peach Bowl.
Dabo's Bible Bonkers.
Dabo, I challenge you to a Bible sword drill while we're at it. You're going down, brother. You're going down. I don't care how much you study up. I'm going to take your spot in the Pop-Tarts Bowl or whatever.
You want to talk about the Big Ten's return to greatness, by the way. Make it milkshake dependent? Oh, hell yeah.
Ooh, they want they want Quiz Bowl. Big Ten is definitely wants Quiz Bowl.
No, they say they want Quiz Bowl, but then in the dark of night, when things become critical, they're like, I gotta go back to the old me. It's milkshake time!
So it's like chess boxing. It's like Big Ten custard trivia.
Oh my god! Jason, you have to file the copyright for that right now.
can we Floyd, I know you're on here. Can we get the URL for custard trivia?
The category is taxonomy, and I will be answering questions about taxonomy after taking 14 shots of custard.
We're going to delete the playoff, all right? How you get into the Rose Bowl is this: the nation's number one custard trivia team versus like the nation's number one like environmental Bitcoin scam team. That's your Pac-12 champ.
Okay. I like the
finally a path for Florida State.
Like eco crypto, whatever that means. That's your Pac-12 champ.
It's open to interpretation. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's your Rose Bowl.
That's beautiful. That's as beautiful as the Rose Bowl itself.
Man, so then your
Custard Sugar Bowl, finally, a selection process worthy of the scene.
So then your Sugar Bowl, we need like an SEC version
LSU.
Of this.
LSU.
It's just LSU oh. Every year.
I see what you're saying. The SEC version of this, I think, is probably some sort of illegal animal hunting.
Okay.
Rattlesnake rodeo.
Yeah, that would work.
Mm-hmm. So then the Big 12 is a different rodeo.
That's a rodeo, but with people. That's the most dangerous game.
People rodeo. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is so easy. This is so easy. And then everything else is just
pulled
from a hat.
Let's hunt Brent Yormark for sport.
That's what
I have just invented a game.
Honestly, at this point, I think Big 12 would be like, if it gets eyeballs, we'll do absolutely.
Welcome to our jolly postseason game. Let's hunt and kill Brent Yormark.
Let's get running! The Big 12. Who knows the most famous person? UConn, Nelly, The Undertaker, if you're famous, uh-huh. We'll put Bathing Ape, anyone. We'll put any logo on our field if people have heard of it.
Act like you've been somewhere, man.
Halftime at the Big 12 Championship is a no holds barred fight between 2 8-year-olds. It's fucking crazy. But the numbers back it off.
That's the Dr. Pepper toss taken one step further.
I'm just going to tell those people they're the chain smokers. Are those 2 8-year-olds? No, those are chain smokers.
We are literally never getting any older. Isn't that them?
Yeah.
I worked at MTV for like almost 2 years and I still have never heard a song of theirs. I am so proud of me.
Nor could I identify them in a lineup. Thus.
No, I have no idea who they are or how many of them there are.
Aren't they the ones who are never getting older? Isn't that
yes,
their song?
Yes.
I don't know what that is. I'm
I don't
so happy.
Know either. Yeah.
It's sorry. Nice in here.
Sorry, Jason and I are just more in touch with the youth of 2011.
Yes. We're in touch with songs from 10 years ago by people who are now like, pushing 35 probably.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, of why Spencer and Jason are more in touch with the youth. Spencer, can I get a quick podcast business?
Podcast business. Podcast business. What's that business? Podcast business. It's a business. Let's talk about God. He's not real, but he's got a book and it's coming out. Here it goes.
I don't think that's what. All right. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's Spencer,
he's got a book and it's coming out.
Can I tell you about
God
the book?
God has got a book coming out and it came
book
through Jason.
That's already out. It's called. Yeah. The Holy Bible, Spencer. You and I are going to sit down and read it together. Hey, let's get coffee and I'll read the Bible to you.
Man, not at gunpoint. Not like seriously. I thought if somebody was like, you got to read this at gunpoint, I'd be like, pull that trigger, brother. This has so many words in it. And I'm not reading them.
If I gave you a dollar for every page of the Bible you read in a 24-hour time span, How many dollars am I paying?
I got you. Spencer, I got you. I will pick the pages for you. I'll find you good shit, okay?
We're unfair. This is cheating. You can't choose your own adventure.
I'll find
the Bible.
You the hottest shit.
There's a bunch of verses about deer.
Yeah. No.
There's so much murder, monsters, explosions, naked ladies. It's got it all, man.
Could I be literally doing anything else for $0? That is the option I will
That's
pick.
The opportunity cost of Spencer reading the
That
Bible.
Is, when you're like, if I gave you a dollar for it, I'm like, brother, that's not even close to the right price.
I think that this thing, Spencer's saying, money's the root of all evil, therefore, this is, you're
yeah, that's right.
Astray.
Yeah, that's,
he's far too, far too pious to accept your terms.
Yes.
I am going to be like most Christians, and I ain't reading that.
So podcast business. Like 10 podcast minutes ago, somebody said the word Warhammer. And that reminded me that we've had our Spotify Wrapped as a show to go check out. And I have some stats here, courtesy of Ryan, that may surprise you here at home. I know that they certainly surprised Ryan and me when we were pulling them. So here we go. The top episode of the Shutdown Fullcast on Spotify in 2023 was Every Warhammer 40K Faction as a College Football Team.
Yes. Yes.
Here's where it gets weird. This, I feel like this had to be a mistake, but this is what it says on the website. It was streamed 999% more than your average episode. That's what it says.
Are we a Warhammer podcast now?
30% of your listeners discovered you in 2023. I'm assuming they're all in Warhammer. Our podcast was shared via text message 37% of the time because all of y'all are dads. We appreciate that. Thank you to the 2% of you on WhatsApp. Shout out InfoSec Twitter. Our podcast grew 25% in followers this year on Spotify, which is very nice. And 2,748 of you had us as their top podcast. 7,568 of you had us in our top five. 9,962 of you had us in their top 10.
So we're not making the playoff.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
That's fine.
I wouldn't trade that. If it meant trading the Warhammer episode, I wouldn't do it.
I'm just going to injure several other cast members of other podcasts so that we get in.
That's true.
Yeah, and then we could make a true crime podcast out of it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I like that the only thing this is going to do is reinforce Spencer's Warhammer habit.
Oh no. Yeah, that wouldn't have happened anyway, Ryan.
Yeah, he was almost out the game, but oh,
it's
man,
for business.
I was almost no now.
This is a business expense.
In. Yeah, whoops.
Expensing this $100 toy.
Mm-hmm. That I have to put together
it's
myself.
A figurine.
And yeah.
It's a good pivot for you, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. It certainly goes with the beard and lack of social
check
skills.
Check this shit out. This box of skulls, there's 340 skulls
this
in
box
it.
Box of so skulls. That's a business.
Look at that.
Oh, Ryan, you haven't seen the box of skulls?
Box of skulls?
Why?
Yeah, we got
do
some
you buy a box? What do you, are the skulls decorative? Like,
yeah, I mean, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, they serve absolutely no in-game purpose. It's just okay. Like, this toy isn't metal enough. It needs skulls.
I ask this question without judgment. Spencer, how many games of Warhammer have you played this year?
Six, I think.
Okay. That's higher than I thought.
Yeah,
it's higher than last year.
I thought you were only in it for the painting and the skulls.
No, I've managed the boys and I have a way of playing, so we end up doing it. And I have played a game with Jason, so I think we played twice this year. So
I've moved my position on this since last year. By the way, if you are just in this for the painting and the dolls,
oh, that's fine.
I think that's fine. That's an art. You know, that's an artistic hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just purely out of curiosity.
I didn't fuck you this last year, and I have since shifted in tone.
Yeah.
Also, like playing a game with other people involves like getting your schedule in order and like interacting with other people. And sometimes Spencer just want to paint the big war machine.
Sometimes mm-hmm. you just want to listen. Sometimes you just want to spend some time with a friend, and you paint the giant yellow war machine.
Make time for a friend today.
But yeah, or you show up at a shop to play a stranger and they turn out to be absolutely
the
terrifying.
Love of your life.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you play
and
orcs
this
too?
Game where this isn't a game where you like take a deck of cards. This isn't a game where you take a board. This is a game where you need a big box of all your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, big box files.
I have a roadie for my Warhammer
like,
game.
I have these
all
mine are out in caboodles, but how do you carry
all
them?
Mine are stored in a Zaps chips carton that's like you know, the kind that would show up to a retail store. I mean, it's sure. Got like fleur-de-lis and like Catholic stuff on it, so like my army's the nuns if it's fine.
I have a special German case with removable metal shelves, and I've magnetized the bottom of all of mine so that I can carry them in this giant backpack.
Wait, I want you to know one of the most haunting things I've ever heard you say is I have a special German case. Like, yeah, I don't
true.
Full of oh my god,
that didn't you didn't
full
make
of little
it as
immortal
far as
goblins.
I've magnetized the bottom, didn't move.
It didn't help. It didn't help. But I think my brain went
were you
into
already
terror
over
mode.
The precipice. By
yeah,
the
I was. I was already like, oh god, it's time to call the police.
Spencer, I just like after you got the rest of it out though, I've never looked up to you more than right now.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad some of you appreciate passion.
I like that to take readers behind, listeners and readers behind the scene a little bit here. Frequently on this show, we assemble to record, and let's say Spencer usually is like, I cannot find my equipment. The thing we use to make this show, for which we are paid money, and to Holly's point, that we are trying to get more and more people to listen to.
Not necessarily.
Spencer's monster toys, however, they go in the secure case where he knows where they are at all time. The recording equipment, throw it in an old pizza box. Ooh. Who fucking cares? But the monsters, they must be protected.
That's just right. Not a monster case. Mm-hmm.
Well, the recording equipment hasn't been scrupulously, diligently hand-painted to artistic
perfection.
He should.
I'd be fine if he did that.
Yeah, maybe
then we'll
we should
look into that. Yeah.
Oh shit!
Can we also point out again that this whole journey started, I think, year before last, with a joke about how Spencer and Jason going, "Hey, yeah, we're gonna get really into Warhammer this year, haha," and then they're like, "Oh shit, we got really into Warhammer."
We worked ourselves into a shoot here.
Yeah,
we
like
did
this either Spencer or Jason was like, "Haha, let's get really into Warhammer in the off season," and then I forget which one of you pulled the trigger first, but.
I think it was me.
Spencer started buying shit first. I know that.
Yeah, I was the one who started wasting money on
when
it.
They,
I mean, investing
in my house.
Investing.
Oh yeah, Jason. I remember this now. Jason was too slow, so Spencer bought shit for Jason when he wasn't succumbing fast enough.
That's right.
I was like, should I go with the nun army or the alien army or the robot army? And Spencer decided for me, and it was the right.
I think the nun army really goes nicely with the book that you wrote. So.
It really does. I like the Lisa Frank colorways too that you've got
Thank
going
you.
There.
Yes, Lisa Frank nuns in space hell is the vibe.
Yes,
it's a good vibe.
Everybody ends up where they're supposed to end up.
I just can't help but thinking, like, what are we going to joke ourselves into? Like, what have we already joked ourselves into for next year that we don't know about yet?
Let's see.
Florida State sympathy.
That's the first my first suggestion.
Oh, God.
I
didn't even
Florida
make
State.
It to the end of the month. I'm good.
That's done.
Like, yep, got a bad deal. Tough
yeah, once,
shit.
Once Rick
done.
Scott was on board, it's like, oh, okay,
yeah.
Y'all got this.
Now that Ron DeSantis has set aside $1 million in the Florida budget to sue the NCAA, I am
that is
feeling
what?
Feeling
that's
bad
how you
for
know that's how you know
that is a real
do.
Thing. That is what? A real
it
thing.
It is not real.
Because, like,
to do what?
Go Google this. Go Google Ron DeSantis $1 million budget NCAA lawsuit.
For
I'm
keeping
not making
so the Division I football teams who are kept out of the NCAA playoff. So, FAMU? Is that who you're mad on behalf of? Because
yep.
that, like,
yep.
the FCS teams in Florida, that is a short list.
It's.
What number sounds big to an idiot? I have $1 million
yes.
dollar budget. That
to
is Spencer, the most-
to Spencer's earlier point, like politicians deciding it's time to scream at a sports league is the ultimate, like, oh my God, Party's things are over. Falling apart. Dad's like, let's go to the batting cages. What about that? Wouldn't that solve our problems today? You're like,
well,
yeah, really would.
Especially in this case, Sometimes. It's like you're not only are you not blazing a new path, you are walking down a wide, well-lit, freshly paved boulevard because we have already, with the NCAA, not that long ago, been in a situation where Brett fucking Kavanaugh was making cogent and agreeable points about how much the NCAA sucks. You're not doing anything new here. People who are just as terrible as you have already been down here with their machetes. You're just out for a stroll.
If you are ESPN, the college football playoff, the NCAA, whoever, like, yes, you live in fear of certain things. Getting sued by the fucking clown show in Florida is not high on that list. Like, there is nothing that, if I got sued by Ron DeSantis, I would be like, fuck yeah, let's do this. I'm a good enough lawyer to handle this. I'm ready.
If I wanted a clown show in Florida, I would go to Florida State's Fine Circus Program.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's so true. It's a wonderful institution.
Ron DeSantis, I dare you to sue this podcast. That'd be great for marketing.
That'd be so awesome. God, that'd
right?
be awesome.
Is but that smile. The thing I can speak into existence for 2024? Is that we get sued by the state of Florida?
Ryan, can you get me banned from a Florida library?
Yeah, probably.
Ooh.
I'll do that.
People say like, but Ryan, you don't live in Florida and your kids don't use those libraries. Why should that matter?
Since when do they care about that?
Not important.
Dads for Liberty is here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the three of you.
I should be able to set up a batting. Yeah, I should be able to set up a batting cage in a public library.
I think we can't call it Dads for Liberty. I think we can't call it Dads for Liberty because the rules of these things be like, are the name of it can't match the people who are actually behind it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So that's true.
In this case, I don't know.
Granddad's for Liberty.
Yeah, there it is.
Like, we're going to start the most liberal and honest organization in the world, which is going to be Granddad's for Fascism. That's what it is. That's
points.
Granddad's for Grumpiness.
Yeah. Whatever you're looking at, just invert every one of the terms. Just reverse all of them.
Can I throw in a real quick podcast business here?
Yes.
Yeah. We're still in podcast business.
My novel Hell Is a World Without You is available for Quote Fingers pre-order. Sometimes big tech decides pre-order's fake. I have no control over that. So some people have read it and they've said to me like, "Hey man, it was cool seeing myself in a novel for the first time ever. It gave me all sorts of feelings and stuff." When you say that, I know you grew up like me. You grew up evangelical, but I've also seen this other reaction. One of my favorite reactions from former colleague Seth Rosenthal on Blue Sky today, who said, "I'm buying this book just to figure out what the hell Jason's talking about," and that is just as valid as well. If you did not grow up like me. Yeah, let's come find out what the hell people like me were up to when we were weird in high school, and you were slightly less weird. So yeah, those I'm here for those two entirely different camps, and all pre-order money going to the Trevor Project in February.
Is anybody not weird in high school?
Crickets.
Okay, that's fine.
No. You would be weird if you were normal. So
that's a deep thought, man.
Yeah, man.
I just overcome with the desire to bully you.
Mm-hmm.
No, like
make him read the Bible.
Make him read the Bible.
I'm coming over, buddy. We're gonna get through this.
Bible bullies.
Just again,
you think you could make it through it and like an adapted children's version of the Bible?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
It's got pictures.
No, man, waste my time.
All right. To wrap this up, how many characters from the Bible can you name in a, let's say, 60-second span?
No, don't do 60. That's too long. No, that's a long
60 is too long?
60 is too long.
No, let's let's do 60 because I want to see what happens when he can't hold
something
in his head
also,
for a minute.
Also, you're going to laugh your ass off when I name the first one. So
okay, hold on. I am starting the timer. Jason is keeping score and deciding whether they count or not. All right, ready? Begin.
God.
Okay.
God.
Just keep going. You're on a timer. Go.
Get there. Okay. Jesus.
Awesome.
Definitely a character.
This is sadder than I thought.
Mary. Joseph. Four and a half. Thank you. I want the additional credit for Jesus.
You can just keep listing Marys and Josephs. All right, there's a lot of
yeah. I can. Nebuchadnezzar.
Just say the word John like six times. I'll give you all those.
Moses, Abraham, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Right. Paul. Let's see. The devil. The devil's in there. Job's in there.
Devil's kind of in there. Sure.
Yeah.
Devil's in there. Come on.
Devil's in there.
There's actually a discussion here, but okay.
Judges.
Yeah, I'm not having it. I don't care.
Judges, all of them, all the judges. I'm giving you all the
all
judges.
The judges. Said judges. Sure, that's David, Goliath.
I think we're up to 23 counting all the judges.
Yeah, David, Goliath.
I'm giving you all the Johns. You're up to 28.
Ruth.
Time
Ruth
is up.
There.
Time is up.
I'm Jason, giving you 29
you numbers.
Numbers. Like, there's tens of thousands of people in numbers. Briefly,
literally
mentioned.
Didn't include the first two human characters in the Bible. So good job.
They're not
got
relevant.
The first two, God and the Spirit. That's two.
You left
said the first two human characters.
You left out a giant snake.
I did leave out the giant snake.
Okay.
Got all the giants.
I left out Ecclesiastes, right?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
That guy.
Tom, Greg Ted, Ecclesiastes.
Left out Noah, which I took great personal offense to.
Well, that's a claim on you. You gotta.
It's not a claim.
I should have said
a wonderful film.
My proper answer should have been Noah's in the Bible. That really should have been.
I'm so excited for Jason to spring upon you at the live show we're doing. That we're gonna do Bible trivia, you versus random member of the crowd, and if they get it right and you get it wrong, you have to hand them a $5 bill.
Ooh.
I should just hand it to him.
I like this game.
I learned all of the Bible trivia you needed to learn to be good at Quiz Bowl, basically. So,
Custard Bowl. It's Custard Bowl now. Sorry, get on custard, board.
Custard quiz boxing.
Man, and let me in this quiz bowl if this is.
How much Bible comes up in Quiz Bowl?
Anything that's a literary reference or anything that's a legal reference. Okay. So. Basically, if it was tied to something in something else and is an allusion or a reference,
Shakespeare referenced it.
God, you had that information right to hand, didn't you?
Yeah, 100%.
So, like, you know about, like, King Solomon.
Yes.
But just because it's...
No, yeah, I couldn't tell you the story, but I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, Judgment, King Solomon, yeah, wise, sure, there.
He's so full of shit.
So, I know the most...
to be clear, not Spencer.
Yeah. Also Spencer.
Spencer's got this.
Yeah. Like,
Spencer would never cut a baby in half.
I would never cut a baby in half.
What direction do you think the plan was to go? Vertical or horizontal?
It's got to be vertical, right? That's the only way to be fair.
I don't know. Like that feels right, but that's also more difficult. Like, I think it'd be hard to spatchcock a baby.
According to Walkhard, it's horizontal.
Mm. Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's diagonal. Like
there was
sandwich.
No plan. He was fucking winging it. He's full of
that's
shit.
That's true.
Yeah, they were all winging it. Come on, man. Man, you know, oh yeah, God told me to do this. Sure.
Do you think King Solomon was like, oh wait, you're putting this in? Oh God, I don't know if I would have said all that if I knew it was going in the final cut.
Can we edit? Hey,
I kind of look like a dick in this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So like, this is getting ahead on a VBS episode, but all the Solomon is wise stuff is so fucking sarcastic. I'm talking about the Bible itself is sarcastic about Solomon's wisdom.
Bible, Spencer.
wasn't it David who saw Bathsheba and was like, I'm gonna ruin that man's life so that I can take his like lady?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what
of that was Solomon.
That's how you know David was a true dog. Like that's how you knew he had a chest full of dogs, because he got to the final draft of the Bible and they were like, David, you got this thing in here about like how you were so horny you ruined another guy's life because you were king and abused your power so you could have her. And he's like, leave it in. They got to go.
I mean, the Bible has a lot of Mr. Steal Your Girl.
I'm not at all
joking.
Let the boy watch.
I'm completely not joking. The David propaganda in the Bible is completely sarcastic. Completely sarcastic. It is not sincere praise.
Is that why he has a little penis in the statue?
Probably. Probably. They were like, it's so majestic and refined and gentlemanly, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, actually, by scale, if you're up next to it, it's still pretty huge.
Gets the job done.
Considered average.
Yeah.
And David said, I am a grower, not a shower.